This week's Red Dwarf contains scenes which are unsuitable for younger viewers and people of a nervous disposition. You have been warned. Red Dwarf, Season 3, Episode 3. Polymorph. A pod is floating through space. Signs on the side read genetic waste and do not open. It broadcasts a message.
Danger! Do not attempt to open this pod.
As the pod rotates, it is seen that a hole has been eaten out of the side.
The creature inside is extremely hostile. It feeds off the human psyche, seeks out the deranged, the unbalanced, and the emotionally crippled.
Meanwhile, the outer hull of Red Dwarf has a hole chewed into it. A dark creature slinks inside. On a cluttered floor of one of the decks aboard the Red Dwarf, the creature makes some weak noises. Obviously, it's very small. It slinks up to a broken mirror and looks at itself, then mutters in disgust and covers its eyes. It then suddenly turns into a teddy bear, a bucket and spade, a pot of red flowers, a Tonka dump truck, a doll wearing a long hoop dress, a white rotary dial telephone, a toy elephant, a two-tone hat, a baseball mitt with ball, a toy boxer, a toy drum, a yellow lamp, a red toy Volkswagen Beetle, a roller skate, a traffic cone, a lampshade, a toy penguin, a piggy bank, a Ken doll, a blue putty, an alarm clock, a tennis ball, a tennis shoe, a large pot, a yellow koosh ball, a floor scrub brush, a bucket on its side, a tiny blue toy whale, a statue of Indian origin, an incandescent light bulb, a red old-style horn, bell and dumb, a yellow ball, a red sock, a fluffy white rabbit. Satisfied, the polymorph hops away from the mirror and comes to rest down the corridor where it changes its mind and turns into a red, white, and blue basketball colored like the defunct American Basketball Association's balls and bounces away. Rimmer and Lister have decided to crank up their living style and have moved into officers' quarters. Lister is preparing a meal, scooping out of a tin labeled Red Dwarf chili powder sample issue. He is wearing a black robe with green edges.
Not too little and not too much.
He taps the spoon on the edge of the can to get just the right amount, then dumps the can's contents into a bowl and puts the spoon's contents back in the can. He picks up a fork and begins to stir the ingredients.
Here we go.
Crichton enters, carrying a vacuum cleaner tube.
I just thought I'd give your quarters a quick tickle around, sir. I won't take a jiff.
Not now, Crichton. I'm cooking.
Crichton attaches the tube to his groin and begins vacuuming.
I didn't know you could do that.
Crichton turns off the vacuum.
Oh yes, I can plug a number of add-ons into my groinal socket, allowing me to perform virtually any household task imaginable.
Like what?
Oh, you name it. Buzzsaw, power drill, hedge trimmer, even an egg whisk.
What, so you just, like, stick the egg whisk attachment on the end and you can, like, whip up a Spanish omelette?
I certainly can, sir, but it's amazing how few people are prepared to eat them.
Crichton begins to vacuum again, but quickly begins to spasm. Eventually he shuts the vacuum down.
Goodness me, I must have sucked up a penny.
He spits out the coin.
I'd better change the old bag there. Yes, I'll just go and get a fresh one.
Crichton leaves as Cat enters. They each raise their left hand and high-five in passing. Cat is wearing a leopard skin jacket.
Something smells good. What is it?
He sniffs.
It's me. I love this aftershave.
He spins around, palms outturned, then goes to the table.
You are 5 minutes away from the greatest meal of your life, man, so set your taste buds on DEFCON 3.
Cat now stands behind the table, which has candles on it, as well as various medical supplies.
Hey, you've really made an effort here. Where do you get all this stuff?
I just got sick and tired of using plastic knives and forks, man, so I went to the medical unit and nicked some gear.
This is a scalpel. I'm supposed to cut my food with a scalpel? Something that has been inside someone's guts?
It's all been cleaned, it's all been washed, it's clean.
Something that, long ago in history, may well have performed a certain popular Jewish operation? I'm supposed to eat with this?
Get the onion salads out of the fridge.
The cat talks as he sees the sign on the refrigerator.
Embryo refrigeration unit.
How many times? It's clean, it's been cleaned.
Cat opens the refrigerator door, muttering onion salad as he scans the contents of the fridge.
They're in the kidney bowls, next to the colostomy bag with the chili sauce in it.
Cat removes the two kidney bowls, rather disgustedly. Lister has finished his mixing.
Here we go, here we go.
Lister opens the microwave then uses his hands to throw the contents of his bowl into it. He then tosses in a roll and squirts a tube of ketchup in. He closes the door and, after a buzz, opens it, removing two plates with the properly prepared meals on them. He goes to the table.
Yahoo! Come on, man, come on. It's ready. Sit down, sit down.
He puts a plate down at his seat.
One kebab for you.
He puts the other plate at Cat's seat.
And one kebab for me.
They sit down. Cat folds a serviette into his collar. Lister holds up an enormous metal cylindrical object. Lister offers it to Cat.
Lemon juice?
Cat points at the long metal thing.
What the hell is that?
It's a syringe.
What kind of syringe?
It's for cows, artificial insemination. It's been washed, it's clean, it's all been sterilized. Do you want lemon juice or what?
Cat removes the serviette and stands up.
Ahem. Excuse me.
Lister's baffled.
What? What about the meal?
This isn't a meal. This is an autopsy.
It's only the starter, man. What about the main course?
Hey, you think I got nothing better to do than hang around watching you serve chicken? In a stool bucket?
He leaves.
Oh, charming.
He picks up a urine sample bottle of wine and begins to pour it.
I dunno. You pull out all the stops. You make an effort. Try and do something with a little bit of extra class, and where does it get you?
He drinks the wine.
Very cheeky.
Outside, in the corridor, the polymorph, still as the basketball, bounces along and then into the room. Lister, confused, picks it up and rests it on the table. While he goes to the door to look into the corridor, the polymorph rolls onto his plate and turns into a second kebab. In another area of the ship, Rimmer is watching a video, smiling. The video image is unstable, clearly a home video of a family having a picnic. Crichton enters and bumps into something as he passes.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt, sir.
He holds up a new vacuum bag.
I just need to get a sorry.
Oh, no, Crichton, it's all right. Just running a few of the old home movies.
Crichton moves to see the screen and Rimmer points.
That's me, there. Those are my brothers, John, Frank, and Howard. God, we were close. The four musketeers we used to call ourselves. Well, the three musketeers, actually. They always let me be the Queen of Spain. Marvelous. I mean, yes, I was the butt of the occasional practical joke, but I mean, nothing sinister.
On the screen, two boys in scout uniforms are seen hammering wooden stakes into the ground. The stakes are tied to the arms and legs of a third boy in scout uniform. One boy smears jam onto the bound boy's face as the other holds up a tin label dance to the camera and then begins pouring it onto the bound boy's face. Guess who he is?
Just the usual boyhood pranks, you know, apple pie beds and Blackie telescope. And one time, they even hid a small landmine in my sand pit. They took it from my father's gun cabinet. I mean, how were they supposed to know it was going to go off? Marvelous guys.
The video image now shows a woman reading Good School's Guide.
Oh, and, who's that there? An old girlfriend, Mr. Arnold, sir.
Hardly.
Ah, no. Not really your type, I suppose, silly old trout like that.
She's my mother.
Oh, I am so sorry, sir.
Just forget it.
Oh, how can I forget it, sir? I compared your mother to a foolish, aged blubbery fish. I said she was a simple-minded, scaly old pissin. I estimated she was an ugly, lungless marine animal with galloping senility, a putrid amphibious gill breather with less brains than a mollusk.
Forget it.
To the screen.
Ah, freeze.
The image freezes on her still reading the book.
Ah, there she is. Magnificent woman. Very prim. Very proper. Some say austere. Some people took her for cold, thought she was aloof. Not a bit of it. She just despised idiots, no time for fools. Tragic, really, otherwise we would have got on famously.
Well, if you'll excuse me, sir, I'll go now. This is clearly a very private family moment. I've no fish to embarrass you further, I'll let myself trout.
He begins to leave, but then returns, crying once again in apology.
Oh, sir, I'm...
Just go.
Crichton leaves. As Rimmer shakes his head, Holly appears on the screen.
I don't want you to panic, Aaron, but it does appear there's a very tiny possibility that there may very well in all likelihood possibly be a non-human life form on board.
You mean like last time, when you got us all worked up and we went scooting off down to the cargo bay complete with bazookoids and backpacks, and it turned out to be one of Lister's socks?
I didn't recognize the genetic structure. Biologically speaking, they were a completely new life form.
Absolutely ridiculous. I felt the total goit.
Well, I think you should take a look.
Where is it?
I lost it. It's somewhere along the habitation deck.
Rimmer stands up.
I can't get a moment's peace in this place.
Back in the quarters, Lister is sitting back at the table as Crichton enters, with the vacuum cleaner tube attached.
Enjoying your meal, sir.
It's delicious, Crichton. Dee's making licious. It's my own recipe, you know, Charmy Kebab Diablo. It's beautiful, man. It's like eating molten lava. I cooked up one for Peterson once, you know. He was in sick bay for a week.
Lister shakes some pepper on the remaining kebab as he watches Crichton clean. The kebab wrinkles and sneezes.
What did you say?
I didn't say anything, sir.
Lister picks up a scalpel and sets to cut the kebab, but he notices it wrinkling. It notices him trying to cut it and leaps around his neck. Lister falls to the floor, trying to pry off the kebab.
Do you seriously like them that hot, sir?
It's trying to kill me.
Oh, it's a good one, huh?
Lister manages finally to pry it off, and the kebab runs behind some cases.
It went under here. I can see it.
He beats at the cases with a baseball bat.
Are you all right, sir?
A noise is heard as the polymorph changes shape.
Smack! It's gone.
What?
How can that be? Where could it go?
He picks up a pair of red shorts from the floor and begins to put them on.
We better get out of here, Crichton. Something very weird is going on. Something very, very... Ooh, there's some kind of pain in my groin.
Movement is seen underneath Lister's robe as his shorts begin making noise. He screams.
What's wrong?
My underpants. They're shrinking. Oh god. The boxers are alive, man. They're getting smaller.
Lister falls to the floor on his back, writhing in pain.
Help me, please. Please.
Crichton goes to his knees and begins to try removing Lister's shorts. Rimmer enters and sees the goings-on from behind Crichton. Lister doesn't notice yet as he continues to bounce around in pain.
Please, I'm begging you. Get it off, man. Pull it down.
Crichton finally retrieves the shorts and stands holding them. They are indeed very short, too. He puts them on Lister's bunk.
Well, I can't say I'm totally shocked. You'll bunk anything, won't you, Lister?
Crichton, the boxers, where are they?
I threw them over here.
They aren't on the bed anymore.
You sure?
There's nothing here.
The polymorph can be heard changing form once more. Crichton is still hunting around on the bed.
Just the blanket and the pillows and the...
Snake.
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 Crichton has a large boa constrictor wrapped around him. It suddenly leaps it and attacks Lister. Lister struggles with it, but manages to stuff it into his laundry basket.
What the snake is going on?
Lister is utterly terrified.
I hate snakes. They freak me out totally, snakes.
He picks up some large forceps and approaches the basket.
They are my all-time second worst fear, guy. What's your first?
The polymorph changes shape as Lister opens the basket, and a huge, fleshy, slimy appendage creature shoots out, reaching the ceiling. It has a set of sharp teeth and extendable jaws.
This.
From between the jaws, a thin, slimy sucker comes out and attaches to Lister's forehead with a quiet, squishy splat. Lister collapses. Later, Lister is asleep in the medical unit. Cat leans against his bed. Rimmer and Crichton are standing nearby.
Is he okay?
As far as we can tell, yes.
So where'd the creature go?
Well, it turned into a kind of splotchy, squelchy thing and squidged off down the corridor.
What is it? Some kind of alien?
No, it's from Earth. Man-made. I checked out its DNA profile. Some kind of genetic experiment that went wrong.
Apparently, it was an attempt to create the ultimate warrior, a mutant that could change shape to suit its terrain and deceive its enemies.
So what did go wrong?
It's insane.
It feeds off the negative emotions, fear, guilt, anger, paranoia. Drains them out of its prey.
It's a sort of emotional vampire. It changes shape to provoke a negative emotion. In Lister's case, it took him to the very limit of his terror, then sucked out his fear.
So now Lister's got no sense of fear.
Precisely.
What are we going to do?
Lister sits up.
Well, I say let's get out there and plant it. Lister, you're ill. Just relax and leave this to us. I could have had it in the sleeping quarters, but you saw it. You saw it. It took me by surprise. Lister, it turned into an 8-foot-tall, armor-plated alien killing machine.
If it wants a bunny, we'll give it one. One swift knee and a happy sex, it'll drop like anyone else.
Fine, well, we'll bear that in mind when we're planning our strategy.
I'm gonna rip out its windpipe and beat it to death with the tonsil end.
Yes, yes, very good.
I'm gonna stick my fist so far down its gob, I'll be able to pull the label off its underpants.
Yes, yes, Crichton.
Crichton injects a sedative through Lister's arm.
What's that, pal? You starting trouble?
It's just a little something to calm you down, sir.
Come on, then. All of you, slags. All together or one at a time. I don't care. It's all the same to me. I'm...
He collapses.
Ah, thank God for that. Right. As far as I can see it, we have two options. One, we take it on and kill it, or two, run away. Who's for a two?
Two sounds pretty good to me, sir.
It's always been my lucky number.
Right, well, let's load up Starbuck and get out of here.
What about Lister?
Oh, just seal the hatch from the inside. He'll be safe here until we're ready to go.
Remember, it's out there and it could be anything.
Let's move it.
What about the Space Corps directive which states it is our primary overriding duty to contact other life forms, exchange information, and, wherever possible, bring them home?
What about the Rimmer Directive, which states, never tangle with anything that's got more teeth than the entire Osmond family?
Rimmer leaves and is followed by Crichton and Cat. Later, in the bowels of the ship, the three are going down a cargo lift. In the dim blue light, Crichton is monitoring a device he holds in his hand. Beeps from it become more rapid until it makes a solid tone. Cat is wearing a silver jacket and has on a headband and studded fingerless gloves. Cat and Crichton each carry a bazookite gun, big, you get the idea, and wear a backpack.
It's here.
Where?
Somewhere.
Set the bazookites to Heatseeker.
Cat and Crichton do so.
When you see it, aim roughly in its direction, and the Heatseekers will do the rest.
They step off the lift and creep around. Rimmer looks down a corridor between crates of cargo.
Is that a shadow? It's in the shadows. There. There. There.
He points and Cat and Crichton emerge from behind crates beside Rimmer and fire down the corridor.
Sorry. My fault. False alarm.
Idiot.
The heat-seeking balls of energy round the corner as they continue their search for a valid target. They then change direction and head back toward the trio. The ball's targeting screen reads laser thermo-enabled, status kill, locked. The group manages to duck just in time and the bullet balls fly over their heads.
I don't understand it. Holograms don't produce heat and neither do androids. What are they homing in on?
Cat freezes for a moment, then looks over at Rimmer and Crichton as they look at him.
So long, guys.
He runs away. The energy balls return to where Rimmer and Crichton are and round the corner, chasing Cat. Cat runs around a few corners, then grabs a cardboard box and holds it up. The energy balls burn through it and go down the aisle. Cat throws down the box and begins running again as the energy balls change direction to follow him again. Cat is now trotting across a perpendicular aisle, followed by the balls, then almost immediately across the next aisle, in the other direction. This continues for the next aisle, and then he runs down the last aisle one way, then the other. He leaps over the energy balls and dives down a side aisle. The balls still chase after him, but have lost him. Cat walks quietly down an aisle, with his back against the cargo boxes. He peeks down another aisle, then walks into an intersection. At the next intersection, the two balls hover, waiting for him.
Oh, come on. Give me a break.
Cat runs down an aisle again, followed by the balls. He runs to a dead end except for a door. He activates the door, which slides open, and ducks. The balls fly past him, into the area beyond the door. Cat reaches up and hits the door control again, trapping the energy balls inside. He stands up.
You either got it or you ain't. Boys, you ain't even close.
Cat struts away, and then hears Rimmer calling.
Cat, where are you?
Over here.
Stay put, we'll come and find you.
Keep talking.
Cat doesn't believe this and sneaks around warily. He hops into a T-intersection, turns 360 degrees, then walks down a vertical part of the T. A woman comes up behind him.
What are you looking for?
A mutant. It's dangerous. It can turn into anything.
Oh, sounds pretty scary.
It is, baby. Believe me.
It must take a really brave sort of guy to do this kind of work.
Well, I guess you're right.
And smart. I bet you have to be smart.
The cat stops walking.
Smart? Yeah, you definitely have to be smart. Like I say, it can turn into anything. You gotta have your wits about you all the time, don't let up for 1 second, or it'll just creep up on you and... blip. Your dog meat. Come on, baby.
They resume walking down the corridor.
You know, you're really quite a guy. Brave, smart, handsome.
Flattered, the cat stops walking again and smiles at her.
Oh, you think handsome?
Oh, come on. You know, you're probably the best looking guy I've ever seen.
Well, I wasn't going to be the first to say it.
Do you know what I'd really like? I'd really like to make love to a guy like you.
The cat is grinning like a Cheshire. Cat.
Well, I'm sure I have a window in my schedule somewhere. Let's see. What are you doing in, say, 10 seconds time?
Nothing I couldn't cancel.
Hi. I'm the cat.
Hi. I'm the genetic mutant.
Glad to know you, Jenny who?
The polymorph turns back into its large slimy form, its jaws extend, and the thin, slimy sucker comes out and plops onto Cat's forehead. Elsewhere, Crichton and Rimmer have heard this and begin running down the aisles, Rimmer trailing a considerable distance behind.
It's got him.
Crichton rushes around the corner near Cat. Rimmer walks in slowly behind.
Oh, my goodness. Are you all right?
Is he dead?
Unconscious, but, according to the psi scan, he appears to have lost an emotion.
Which emotion?
He's lost his vanity.
This is your fault, Crichton.
My fault?
You were supposed to stick together. You let the cat run off alone.
But it wasn't. I mean...
he trusted you. Now look at him.
Oh, please. I feel so...
guilty.
Yes.
Good.
Rimmer's face stretches. Crichton looks shocked, then a slimy sucker plops onto his forehead. The polymorph is sucking the guilt from Crichton. The real Rimmer runs around some corners and comes behind the creature still feeding. He sneaks closer to it, then jumps into a pseudo karate stance with a
ha!
Shove it. The polymorph has no reaction. Rimmer steps back a bit, then the creature turns to face him. Rimmer holds up the back of his hands, limp-wristed, then moves his hands, saying,
shoo! Shoo!
The polymorph changes into its small initial form and slinks away, between some boxes. Rimmer approaches Crichton.
Let's just get Lister and get out of here!
It's got my guilt. I have lost the single emotion which prevents my transgressing the mores and manners of civilized society.
Stop your blithering, Crichton. Come on. Grab the cat and let's go.
Oh, screw you, Patronhead.
Rimmer leaves. In the medical unit, a spigot is bulging. Lister is beginning to wake up. The polymorph makes its way out of the spigot and falls to the floor. Rimmer runs down the corridor, but then stops, turning around.
Where have you been? Let's go.
Cat staggers around the corner. His hair is a mess and he carries a paper sack with a bottle inside. He wears dirty clothes, including an anorak. His speech is blurred. I've been getting myself comfortable, man. He staggers beyond Rimmer.
Come on, Crichton. You're holding us all up.
Crichton rounds the corner, lurking a bazookoid.
Ah, who cares?
You're going to get us all killed.
So?
In the medical unit, a woman's hand, wearing a ring, is toying on Lister's abdomen. Lister finally wakes up, looks at her face, then lets his head fall back down. Crichton, Rimmer, and Cat enter.
Oh, look. It's Bonehead's mom. Ha!
Mother!
Hello, dear.
What are you doing?
She responds as she kisses Lister.
Well, what does it look like, darling?
You've just made love to my mother. Yeah. Do you want to make something of it?
It's not your mother. It's the polymorph.
You've just had my mom.
5 times. He was like a wild stallion.
Very prim. Very proper. Almost austere.
Don't fall for it, Aaron. It's trying to make you angry.
Darling, I wish you could have seen him in action. He was like a set of pistons in an ocean liner engine room.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Don't get angry. That's what it wants.
Lister and Mother, it's a dream come true.
He's so energetic. I honestly thought my false teeth were going to fall out.
How lovely.
The positions he bent me into.
Terrific. That sounds enchanting. Well done.
And the things this boy can do with Alphabetti Spaghetti.
Cool it, Arnie.
Alphabetti Spaghetti.
The by now familiar sucker attaches to Rimmer's holographic forehead, just above the H. Later, all are gathered in the sleeping quarters. Cat sits on the floor, drinking out of the bottle. Most of the drink spills down his shirt, but it blends in with previous stains. Where is it now?
It's gone back down to the cargo bays, sleeping off a four-course meal of fear, vanity, guilt, and anger. You'd better get it before it comes back for seconds.
Rimmer is wearing a t-shirt which reads, Give Keisha a Chance. He also wears shorts and a wristwatch, and is smoking a pipe. His face sports a goatee and black spectacles. He speaks with a lot of hand movements, fingers together, outstretched.
Look, just because it's an armor-plated alien-killing machine that salivates unspeakable slobber doesn't mean it's a bad person. What we've got to do is get it round the table and put together a solution package, perhaps over tea and biscuits.
Crichton is in Lister's bunk.
Look at him. You can't trust his opinion. He's got no anger. He's a total dork.
Good point, Crichton. Let's take that on board, shall we? David. David, do you have anything you want to bring to this forum?
Lister is still holding the baseball bat and also has a bazookoid on his shoulder.
Well, yes, I have, actually, Arnold. Why don't we go down to the ammunition stores, get the nuclear warheads and then strap one to my head? I'll nuke this maker to oblivion.
Right, well, that's very nice, David. Let's put that on the back burner, shall we? Cat, let's have your contribution. Come on.
Hey, don't ask me my opinion, I'm nobody. Just pretend I'm not here.
That's lovely. Thank you very much. Moving on a step, and I hope no one thinks that I'm setting myself up as a self-elected chairperson. Just see me as a facilitator. Crichton, what's your view? Don't be shy.
Well, I think we should send Lister in as a decoy, and while it's busy eating him alive, we could creep up on it unawares and blast it into the stratosphere.
Good plan. That's the best plan yet. Let it get knackered eating me to death, then you guys could just, like, catch it unawares. Well, that's certainly an option, David, yes. But here's my proposal, let's get tough. The time for talking is over. Call it extreme if you like, but I propose we hit it hard and hit it fast with a major. And I mean major. Leaflet campaign, and while it's reeling from that, we'd follow up with a whisk drive, a car boot sale, some street theater and possibly even some benefit concerts. Okay. Now, if that's not enough, I'm sorry, it's time for the t-shirts, mutants out. Chameleonic life forms, no thanks. And if that's not enough, well, I don't know what will be.
Has anyone ever told you that you are a disgusting, pus-filled pupa who has all the wit, charm and self-possession of an Alsatian dog after a head swap operation?
Listen, you bunch of tarts, it's clobbering time. There's a body bag out there with that scutball's name on it, and I'm doing up the zip. Anyone who gets in my way gets a napalm enema.
I think everybody's right, except me, so just forget I spoke, alright.
I think we're all beginning to lose sight of the real issue here, which is what are we going to call ourselves? And I think it comes down to a choice between a league against salivary monsters or my own personal preference, which is the Committee for the Liberation and Integration of Terrifying Organisms and their Rehabilitation into Society. One drawback with that, the abbreviation is clitoris.
Look, it needs killing. If that means I have to sacrifice my life in some stupid pointless way, then all the better.
Yes. Why not? I mean, even if it doesn't work, it'll still be a laugh.
Right, so let's just cut all of this business and get on with it. Last one alive's a wet pants. Who's with me? Well, the car stickers aren't ready until Thursday, but sometimes one just has to act spontaneously. People, let's go.
Lister leaves, Rimmer following. Kevin Crichton stand up. Hey, I'm coming, too. Maybe I can bum some money off him.
Maybe if I hand you guys over, it'll let me go. Move it, suckers.
The polymorph moves through the cargo bay. At the T-intersection, Lister jumps in, then whips the baseball bat around each side of him a few times, then misses, sending the bat impacting between his legs. He staggers for a bit, then begins to walk as the others fall in behind him. Rimmer is holding a sign which reads Chameleonic Life Forms No Thanks. He's singing a Love Everybody, Peace, Love song.
Come on, you chicken. Show us your slobbery chops, and we'll blow them off.
Here they are. Nice juicy humans. Come and get them. Here, muty mutant.
The polymorph continues wandering around the aisles. The foursome stand looking down an aisle as the creature stands to its full height behind them, unnoticed. Lister uses his baseball bat to open the door, and the energy balls fire earlier zoom out. The foursome duck and the balls fly to and detonate on the polymorph. Bits of the polymorph fall on the foursome, as they suddenly have regained their lost emotions. They stand up.
Phewie, what am I wearing?
Oh, how can you ever forgive me, sirs? Naturally, I will commit suicide immediately.
He sticks the barrel of the bazooka in his mouth and Lister pulls it away from him.
Hey, we were all a bit whacked out there. You can say that again.
He's referring to his pipe.
Come on, let's go and clean up. If I don't get into some coordinated evening wear, I'm going to have to resign my post as most handsome guy on the ship.
Cat leaves, followed by Crichton, Rimmer and Lister. The pod from which the polymorph came still spins in space. Down the cargo bay, the group walks in line, Cat, Crichton, Rimmer, Lister and Lister. The second Lister stops, looks into the camera, smiles, giggles, roars, and turns into the 8-foot slimy creature. Its sucker reaches toward the viewer. The end.